Let's face facts. Popular culture doesn't value anything of a lasting or profound nature.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Melrose Place. Today's episode is Season 1, Episode 23, My New Partner. And now, your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, my old partners. How are you?
I'm very well, and you?
I am very well.
I want to just mention one quick thing, because I think we forgot to mention it in the main podcast, but we did have an Again With This episode drop last Friday. So if you go to patreon.com/againwiththis, you can get the archive of past bonus podcast episodes and the latest one, which is all about the Vincent Young cinematic vehicle, What Death Leaves Behind, / The Kidney. It's very important work that we did for you. You heard right, The Kidney. So please subscribe, please support us at any level, and you can get all of that plus more. Who knows what we'll tackle next? We don't. So thank you for all of our donors who got to hear that. Thank you, Sarah, for watching it, because I know you didn't want to. And now, on with this episode.
Speaking of things I didn't want to watch.
Yeah.
How's it still this boring? I don't understand. I mean, I do understand. We'll get into it.
Listen, it's ramping up. It's definitely still slow, though, but we'll get to it. So let's start with our B plot. Jake is wary of taking Joe's money. Jake and his abs bring Joe breakfast in bed to a soundtrack of this, clip two.
This infernal tootling does not cease for the duration of the scene.
Yeah, you know how when you were 25 in the early 90s and you like to start your day with some smooth jazz? No, me neither.
No? Oh, boy.
Lord. I did note that it must be a weekday because it's not the usual aphrodisiac strawberries. It's toast, which is very professional. And indeed, Jake does go on to exposit that Joe has a job, not that we see what it is, and she is not yet late for it. And this moderately impressive breakfast in bed is Jake's expression of happiness. He has a solid relationship, a good job, and a Harley. He spent so much of his life trying to ruin everything, and now things are going right, and Joe is happy he's happy. She has a lot to do with it, he says. And then she suddenly does have to get up without so much as a single bite of toast. So nice timing, Jake. But anyway, he has bigger problems. Apparently, he jinxed himself with all his talk of happiness, because that night he's telling Joe how his boss, whose name is Rusty, just told him he was not going to be able to pay Jake this week. And then they're interrupted by a phone call at what is L.A. dinner time from Charles's lawyer in New York, which doubt it, but okay.
Yeah, I had a note about that, and then I sort of crossed it out because I figured, like, she has been not having it with them, and if they're trying to, like, get her, I don't even know, verbal sign-off, like, if they want her to actually pick up, they would have to call her at dinner time, I guess, but I don't know.
I guess, perhaps. Anyway, Joe angrily yells at said lawyer that she doesn't want Charles' damn money. She wants a divorce. And after she hangs up, she rants on about Charles' family trying to manipulate everyone with their money. Jake is curious about how much they think Joe's worth. And she says $50,000, which, given what we've heard about his family, which, like, was represented, I thought, as, like, an old family, an old money kind of dynasty, that seems, like, very low.
Yeah.
Like, if they're trying to
buy her... wasn't there a prenup mentioned?
Right.
So, maybe they're like, we'll override the prenup, but this is all you're getting?
Right.
I don't know.
But if she's not, if she doesn't even want to take it, like, whatever. I mean, whatever the conditions are of this, like, what seems like a token payment, like, if they're just trying to get rid of her, like, just take it.
Like, yeah.
End the conversation.
Just be ridded and, you know, buy yourself something nice. I don't
know. So yeah, Jake jokes that she should think about taking it, but she doesn't think that it's funny, and her pride is no longer for sale, and Jake is chastened, and is even more sorry at work the next day when Rusty comes wandering out of the shop, assuming that Jake has figured out that Rusty is about to lay him off, when in fact, Jake has figured out no such thing. Jake is instantly furious that Rusty would let his best mechanic go, but actually, Rusty is letting everyone go, including himself, because the bank is foreclosing on the shop. And since Rusty isn't going to be able to pay Jake for a couple of paychecks, he's transferred the note on Jake's Harley to the bank, which is not where I thought that sentence was going to end up, but okay.
No.
Like, I kind of thought it was going to be like, well, we'll call it square. You're done paying me for this bike. I don't know.
Yeah. Whatever. Like, isn't that supposed to be conciliatory?
Right. Anyway.
The good news is the bad news isn't worse. All right.
Regardless, Jake seems too shocked to get too mad about it, so they shake hands. And at dinner that night, Joe is telling Jake an amusing story about her day, oblivious to how distracted and freaked out he clearly is. And finally, he says he's been thinking about the settlement and how refusing it is the kind of thing a rich person would do. And she's offended that he doesn't understand it's about pride for her, because she thought that's what he was about too. But he's about survival, which is why he doesn't love that she threw Charles' money away. And she snaps that she threw away a bad life so that she could have a life of her own, and he gets that, and finally, under direct questioning, tells her about getting laid off. And he's bummed because he actually liked the job, and she bucks him up, telling him how talented he is and pointing out that at least she's bringing home the bacon, which of course is the cue for the server to come and tell Joe that her credit card has been declined. Wah, wah. And later, a post-coital Jake is keeping it sexy by ranting about Rusty's poor business acumen and inability to manage inventory. And he pretty quickly talks himself into running the business himself, and Joe agrees that he could, so he will. It's already been established earlier this season that Jake has no credit, so how is he going to get a loan? Oh, never mind, he has a tie, as we see in the next scene, as Joe ties it for him. She is very confident that the bank will give him and his chambray shirt with collar buttons that he does not button a loan. But unfortunately, the loan officer is who?
Ben Stein.
That's right.
And guess who does not win Ben Stein's money?
Jake.
You've seen TV before.
Yeah, Ben is not susceptible to Jake's charms, announcing that Jake has no collateral and Jake is undeterred but also unsmart in clip three.
My collateral is my business talent and my mechanical expertise. I know that shop inside and out, and I know motorcycles. Just because it was mismanaged before doesn't mean I can't turn a profit with it now.
You have no experience running a business, and you have no credit history except for the motorcycle loan you're paying off to us. Look, for us to even consider making this loan, we'd have to have at least 25% of the purchase price in cash.
But this place loaned Rusty the money to start the shop. I'm a much better risk than he is.
That was in the 80s, Mr. Hansen. And this place, as you call it, almost went belly up from bad loans. Look, I'm sorry.
All right. Thanks.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Hansen, Rusty had the payments on your motorcycle set much too low. We'll be sending you a new payment book with new amounts very shortly.
Oh, boy.
Nice work, Rusty. Doing a hell of a job there.
Fucking hell. Yeah. I mean, worse and worse. A nice nod to the fact that it's a savings and loan because, you know, the news. But also, like, yeah, Jake, you can't go in and say, like, my collateral is my knowledge of business, because it's not. And that's not what collateral is. And if you had knowledge of business, you would know that.
Yeah.
So that night, Joe comes by Jake's place with clip four.
Tacos, quesadillas, chips, tons of salsa, and 6 cold cervezas.
I don't think I've ever opened this door to you when you didn't have a bag of food in your hands.
What can I say? It's how I deal with bad news.
What is going on with the pronunciations? Quesadillas, cervezas, and then all of a sudden, Transylvania? I don't understand this accent.
Yeah, I did not realize that cervezas were Ukrainian, but that's news to me. Now I know. So Joe is dismayed that the SNL did not see what a great investment Jake is, but he's already looking for jobs. But she tells him that they do have something to celebrate. She is taking the settlement so that Jake can use it for a down payment on the shop. But he doesn't want to take money that was owed her because he is not her charity case. But she says she's investing in a business. And he thinks if he takes it, he'll owe her the same way that Charles owed her. And somehow saying that Jake is being stupid doesn't change his mind. And she tells him what he owes her for his half of the food and beer and says he can mail it to her before storming out. And then he just dumps all the food into the trash, including the beer, like, still in the bottles, but he misses and they, like, fall on the floor and clatter and don't break. And it's, like, not dramatic. And also, throwing up perfectly good food still in the bag is the real rich person shit, Jake.
Yeah. And also, your half of that giant bag of food was $3.
I know.
It wasn't the 1890s. Fuck.
No.
Where are you guys getting quesadillas?
I mean,
please give me an address. I'd like delivery.
It could have been Del Taco. They are that cheap. I think they still are. Sorry, Del Taco. Later, Jake slinks up to Joe's to apologize. She doesn't want to argue anymore. Jake says his father was always angry and he never knew why, but has since figured out that it's because his dad was afraid to take anything from anyone and to give anything to anyone, and he passed that fear on to Jake. But if her offer still stands as an investment, Jake will take it, and they drive straight to the shop to drink champagne and toast to their partnership. So, problem solved for now.
Yeah, it's a good thing nobody signed anything or talked about how that was going to work. And
no, not at all.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll never come up again.
On to the A plot. Fucking Keith is back. So I guess it's the day after the last episode, because we're with Billy and Allison in their kitchen as he's telling her that he and Amanda took her feelings into account, but are going to continue fucking anyway. I'm paraphrasing. Allison is at her most clenched as she passively aggressively thanks him for keeping her informed and then asks whether Billy and Amanda actually did sleep together the previous night, because, of course, he didn't say they did. And a flustered Billy says he can't believe she's asking him that, but she counters that he and Amanda talk about her, and he lies that they don't and says some things are more private. But Allison presses him to spill, so Billy states that they did not have sex, and we didn't actually see them do anything more than kiss, so maybe that is true. And Allison restates all of her objections to the relationship and stomps out of the room. And then at work, I feel like I could talk about this for 500 years. We get our first glimpse at this weird, narrow, like, balcony at the office where people who have a fear of heights, I guess, have to sit on a dare. It's like so narrow. These people are at these desks that are like the width of children's desks in a public school. Like, they're so small, you couldn't possibly get anything done up there. And you have to get up there by spiral staircase. It's obviously in the visual aids, but it's the weirdest, like, set decorating choice I think I've ever seen.
Yeah. Like, it can't have been that hard to just build a set that had a cube farm in it. Like, why is this happening?
Well, I mean, later we may get an idea of why. I have it noted here, but, like, you know, you don't have to show us more people, you know, on a tier above, like, in a chicken coop. We can just assume there's more to this office we don't see, because the solution is a dumb one.
Yeah.
But anyway, Allison tries to dodge Amanda's attempts to get her to talk about their friendship, but under duress, relents in clip 5.
It's fine with me if you do want to see each other, but let's not talk about it, all right?
I had no idea that my going out with him would upset you.
Oh, come on, Amanda. I gave you lots of signals.
I don't do signals, Allison. I'm straight with people. And I expect the same from the people I work with.
You want straight? I work for you. I am new to this position, and I don't want to jeopardize it by making demands on you. I think anyone could understand that.
You know, if I were you, Allison, I'd take a look at your feelings for Billy. It seems to me that he's a hell of a lot more than a roommate to you.
First of all, well, true. Second, I don't do signals. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much for saying that. It won't work, but I'm glad that someone said it.
Yeah. Although, Allison certainly did give all the signals Allison is capable of giving. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, yikes.
So Billy's going out that night when Allison stops him to talk about how things got messed up between them, and she's come to some shocking conclusions in clip six.
I guess sometimes I can be a little rigid.
Oh, girl.
I mean, me too, so I can't make too much fun of her, but still, it's pretty funny. Billy, amused, does not disagree. Allison adds that she doesn't think it was all her fault, but Billy doesn't want to argue about it. He is going out with Amanda. She says she's glad, she wants him to, and thinks she's been jealous of Amanda, as she says in clip seven.
She's beautiful and talented and accomplished, and she's going out with you.
Me? You're jealous because of me?
Partially, I think, yeah. I don't know. Why else would I be making such a fuss about you two going out?
You got me.
Anyway, go ahead. I don't want you to be late. I just think we should talk, like, tomorrow. I just think we should try and figure out what kind of, feelings we have for each other, sort of air it out.
Yeah. We'll talk. That'll be good. About us.
No, it'll be excruciating.
Yeah, it really will. Because if you thought that Andrew Hsu's acting was bad before, it is rapidly declining, like, during scenes. He just loses control of his face. Mm-hmm. He's so bad, you guys.
Yeah.
He is very bad at acting.
Well, and also, like, it's one thing if she's saying, I'm confused and I'm jealous and, you know, even if I don't want to date you, maybe I have complicated feelings about someone else dating you. But, like, he's the one who's dating someone else. So I feel like his side of the conversation is like, I don't have feelings for you anymore. I'm dating someone else. So this conversation is going to be short from my perspective. Like, what is there to talk about at this point?
Yeah. Also, I don't know. Like, he was really pushing the best friends angle. And now that someone less clenchy has come along, he's forgotten all about it. Like,
right.
I mean, it's pretty straightforward. I'm not sure there has to be a whole discussion, but okay.
Right. Right. And I mean, he got her that necklace. It didn't go anywhere. So, you know, he made his move such as it was. She declined to pick it up. So, you know, he was free to move on and he did. So,
yeah.
I feel like he could say this at this point and spare himself the assignation the next night, but whatever. He's quote nice unquote, so he doesn't. Moving on. Mm-hmm. Billy and Amanda's date is in an ice rink with some truly glorious 70s B-roll, which Sarah took a screenshot of for the visual aids.
It's so good. The font. It's like that 70s sort of like Western casino
mm-hmm.
font that is like, when was this picture taken, truly? Or yeah, it could be a painting for all I know.
It's gorgeous. It's amazing.
Yeah.
We learn that Amanda only knows how to skate because her dad tried to turn her into a competitive figure skater, and that she only competed once because she couldn't stand publicly failing. She says she never wanted to be Peggy Fleming, which Buzz, someone her age, would say Dorothy Hamill.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to be Georgia O'Keeffe, and Billy apparently wanted to be John Belushi. Again, why does this guy's name keep coming up the second time in like four episodes?
Yeah.
She doesn't buy it. Neither do I. Billy says the real answer as to who he aspired to be was Hemingway.
Oh.
We're supposed to believe Billy read Hemingway as a kid, which I do not, nor do I believe he read Hemingway as an adult. But
I mean, the ones he lists are pretty standard U.S. high school fare.
I suppose that's true. I think one of the ones he says is doesn't he say The Old Man and the Sea, which is the same one that Erica read?
Yeah, which is like middle school fare. And it's that always makes me laugh because everyone has to read that one and everyone has to read Edith Wharton's Ethan Frome. Which are respectively the two least typical examples of those authors' works, but they're short.
Right.
So, yeah. He probably thinks it's about a fish. Okay.
Anyway, doesn't matter. Amanda's starting to fall for Billy and they make out on the ice. The next morning, Billy goes to Jake for advice, or possibly just to brag that Amanda wanted him to come up after his date, but that he turned her down because he felt guilty thinking about Allison. The upshot is that Billy will talk to Allison that night, which is what they had already both decided to do, and we knew. Billy adds that the problem is he can never figure out what women are saying. Although this is a dumb thing to say for anyone, especially any male character, we already heard Allison say she tried to give Amanda signals. So, you know, fair point to Billy. She does not always state what she wants. And Jake says he can't always tell what women want either, but you have to try. Wah, wah. And at D&D, Allison takes delivery of a dozen red roses, impressing Amanda and her very short skirt. The roses are from someone who has always cared for Allison and yet wants to meet at Shooters that night. And Amanda is all over Allison wanting to know who the mystery man is in clip 8.
I don't want to cause trouble, but you mentioned that maybe I should look at my feelings for Billy. And I started to think that maybe there was something there. At least enough that we should talk about it. So I told him, you know, that we should talk. And I guess he thinks there's something to talk about, too.
Well, did you?
What?
Talk.
I guess we will tonight. I guess that's why I sent the flowers. Really, I didn't want to get in between anything with you and him. We're just going to discuss things. And maybe we will stay just friends, but at least everything will be out on the table.
Good.
Okay.
I love
Sorry,
how
go
unthreatened
ahead.
Amanda is, because she shouldn't be.
Also, Billy can afford a dozen roses.
Yeah.
No. Allison's smugness is so out of character and cringy in this situation that it's really amazing to just watch Amanda be like, asshole says what? Like, yeah, it's great. And, you know, you know it's not Billy. And then when you find out who it is, you're like, I kind of wish it were.
Ugh. Yeah. But it also feels like she keeps saying, I didn't want to get between you and maybe we will just stay friends, but, you know, whatever. And like, when did you flip this switch? Like, do you actually want Billy or were you just being territorial?
Yeah.
It wasn't clear to me.
And also, if you're like one of your stated reasons, which is one of the only ones that is legit, in my opinion, is that you work for Amanda.
Right.
And that makes shit weird for you. Maybe don't be talking to her like she works for you.
Right.
Like, that was just a very weird choice, but I mean, it's Allison. She can't, can't win for Eeyoring. So,
Allison goes to Shooters. So sure she's going to be meeting Billy there that anyone who has ever seen TV before has to know he is definitely not the sender of those flowers. At all. And sure enough, he isn't. It's fucking Keith, who introduces himself by coming up behind Allison and covering her eyes, as if the last time we saw them have contact together, it wasn't her trying to leave and him grabbing her by the forearm in a rather violent way that made her wince. And not for the last time, by the way.
Nope.
So here he is, though, now thinking this shit is cute. Allison does not look happy to see him, crossing her arms over her chest and demanding to know what he's doing there. He says maybe making a fool of himself, but he can't stop thinking about her and never stopped caring about her. She told him it was over and she meant it. She's going home to pretend this never happened, and he ignores her in clip 9.
I'm still in love with you, and I think you're still in love with me. That's all that counts.
Honestly counts in respecting someone's wishes.
One thing. I don't tell you one thing.
A big thing. You were married.
It's old news, Allison. I'm divorced. The only thing standing in the way of our happiness is you.
Don't blame me. Don't do it. I was honest with you. I told you how I felt and what I needed for my happiness. And what do? You wait 3 months and you trick me into seeing you by sending me those flowers. I don't think you respect me any more than you ever did.
Well, if I had called you, would you have seen me? Would you? No, you wouldn't have. Well, now you're rid of me. Are you happy? You don't miss me? Well, I miss the hell out of you. I stare at your picture. I pick up the phone to call you every night, but I don't because you don't want me, and I don't know why because I'm not married anymore, and I love you. What is it, Allison? You stopped loving me? You never did what?
Of course I didn't stop loving you.
Okay, first of
why
all,
why not?
Somewhere in that speech, he grabs her arm again while she's trying to walk out, so not cool. Second, if you never stopped loving this fucking guy, what were you trying to do with Billy?
Yeah.
Anyway, of course, Allison the pushover lets Keith walk her home. He thinks this means they're going to pick up where they left off, but she can't just hop back into a relationship. They have to start over, and he's fine with that, although he did not tell his crazy eyes, which you can see in the visual aids.
Yeah. Easy.
He even asks if he may kiss her goodnight on this, their first date, and she allows it. So when Allison wanders into her apartment, Billy's all ready to have their big capital R, capital T relationship talk, which in the Keith haze, she totally forgot about. The other thing that's happened since they scheduled this conversation is Amanda calling Billy, pissed off that Billy apparently sent Allison a dozen roses. His assumption is that Allison sent them to herself to fuck up Billy's life. But she says the roses are from Keith and then tries to psychoanalyze herself in clip 10.
I was pretty lonely after the breakup, and I guess I displaced some of my emotions onto you. I mean, I'm sure that something with me besides a friendship is the last thing you're interested in.
Yeah, it was somewhere before throwing myself in front of a train.
That's what I thought. So I met Keith, and Keith's divorced now, and we're going to start going out again, I think. Don't be mad, all right?
Why should I be mad? I'll just work things out with Amanda. I hope things for you and Keith are better this time.
You think I'm crazy?
Everybody's crazy.
Also, he doesn't care. And if he did care, Andrew Hsu would not be capable of depicting it in any recognizable way. So I guess we're doing this.
Yeah. I mean, like the psychological realism of Billy thinking this is bullshit, but also recognizing like, I can't once again tell her all the reasons that Keith sucks because like,
then I'll be stuck with her.
Yeah. If this reunion sticks, then she's going to hold it against me.
Yeah.
Like that's, you know, a real thing that has happened to mm-hmm. people, I hear. Uh-huh. So, yeah, I mean, I get it. But also, you're right. He also doesn't care. So it can be both those things.
He's like, can I go and make up with Amanda so we can fuck? Great. Bye. Good luck with Keith.
Okay, so back at the office the next day. Now I understand the point of the business balcony as Allison carefully picks her way down the precarious spiral staircase for like 500 years and we watch her legs the whole time. Like, okay. Anyway, then it's Allison's turn to ask Amanda if they're okay. Both apologize for the awkwardness between them. Allison wants to make it up to Amanda and Billy by making them dinner that night, and Amanda can meet Keith. And over dinner, everyone is being unbearable in clip 11.
People value what they're told to value by the media. If that wasn't true, there wouldn't be any advertising, and you and Allison wouldn't have jobs.
You're being awfully simplistic, don't you think?
Well, would you try to convince people to buy things? That's true enough.
Did anybody see How to Get Ahead in Advertising? It's this English film. Really cool. I mean, this ad exec, he's got a boil, but he thinks he's got a boil. And he's picking at it, and it turns out to be this other head growing out of his neck, and it's evil, and it takes over his body.
Actually, I did see it, and you're right. It was a terrific movie.
What made it a terrific movie was that it was a metaphor for the soullessness of advertising in the popular culture.
Please.
Oh, I don't know. Don't you think soulless is a little strong?
Okay, I overstated my point, and I'm sorry.
No, that's what the movie's about.
Yeah.
So, that's A. B, take it easy, sycophant. She's still going to fuck you. Keith goes on to say the health of the planet is an urgent matter everyone should value, but that it gets no play because there's no money in saving it. And Amanda says that environmental groups advertise proving that stupidity is sexually transmitted. But Keith decides not to explain why this argument is moronic because, again, he's still trying to fuck Allison, who is also in advertising. But when Allison and Billy go to get the coffee, Keith and Amanda continue sparring in clip 12.
And until you guys realize that and stop advertising useless, destructive products, we'll continue to slide into oblivion.
You know, Keith, no offense, but I find your statement so irritating and pompous that it's hard to put into words, and I am just too tired and too bored to try.
Okay. There's our queen.
I mean, yes, I love the line, and the reaction that Keith gives her is very funny. Like, he's so stung by it. He just has no response. But this is Kelly and her dumb principles at Pia's firm all over again. Like, Keith is right, so why is the show making him look like a killjoy loser?
Yeah. And also, they have chosen to work in advertising, and surely these arguments have been brought to their attention before Keith showed up. So right. Toughen up and change the fucking subject.
Right. Or have an answer at least. Like, well, yeah. Our firm, while advertising this terrible, dumb underwear, also does work with XYZ.
Mm.
Anyway, Amanda asks Billy to take her home, thanks Allison for dinner, and flounces off without one more word for Keith, which, fine. Funny.
I mean, yeah.
And when she's gone, Keith apologizes to Allison for ruining the night. He just finds it hard to shut up when he feels passionate about something. And Allison says Amanda was baiting him and guesses that Billy said something to her on the way over. And Keith notes that Billy never liked him, which, true, he probably did. Tell Amanda, like, oh, this is this fucking guy I hate. So she probably was, like, arrived with material. But anyway.
Yeah.
Allison's in the middle of agreeing that advertising should be a force for good, LOL, when Keith interrupts her with a kiss and then a suggestion that they go into the bedroom, but she needs more time, and he agrees to follow her lead. And on the street, Billy and Amanda bond over their shared hatred of Keith's pomposity before heading to her place for coffee, or, if not coffee, a red satin shorty robe, which looks completely ridiculous, straddling Billy's dumb giant chinos on her bed. But anyway.
And his fucking Grotsky chucks that he doesn't take off on her bed.
Like, on her bed.
I know you're vagmatized by Heather Locklear. Uh-huh. I get it. The struggle is real. Take your fucking shoes off.
Yeah. Well, this is where we leave things in the final clip.
So you like it?
Yeah. To tell you the truth, all the girls I've slept with either wore t-shirts or football jerseys to bed.
You're with a woman now.
It's about time.
So do you have to tell Allison that you won't be home tonight?
Allison? Allison who?
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba.
This is the least sexy foreplay I've ever seen, and I've watched a fair bit of television. He is so derpy. I just, yeah. That, like, they try with the six pack. I just felt nothing. Nothing.
Yeah. It's just, they have not in any way established what Amanda sees in Billy other than that he has a good body. Like, even his face is like, okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, trying to get them to connect on a fellow artist level is like, no. No one is buying it, guys,
no.
At all. Oof.
Yeah.
All right, let's close it up by naming our episode MVP.
Kimberly?
Who?
Kimberly? Like... Half the cast is not even in this. I don't even know. The roses?
I'll say Joe. She decided to take the money and use it for good.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, in the long term, probably. I mean, it was money that she didn't want anyway. At least she decided to take it and give it to someone who would actually use it.
I mean, I guess I'll say Amanda because, not that Keith is wrong, but who has not wanted to pull the ripcord in such Amandian fashion on a bunch of mansplaining at a dinner party with a bunch of drips?
Yeah.
I mean, she didn't stick the landing when she asked Billy to take her home and then fucked him, but you can't have everything.
So true. Least valuable player. Oh, God. Allison. Ugh.
Keith, quit fucking grabbing people.
Keith, quit fucking grabbing people is totally fair. Allison, don't take back the grabber.
Yeah.
I mean, they go hand in hand, as it were.
Yeah, they really do. Next time on Again With This, the mostly unwelcome returns of both Ray Donchong and a carjacking as emotional plot generator create complications for Rhonda and Allison. The entirely unwelcome sight of Billy and Amanda doing sex will create complications for your digestion, but if you choose to proceed, you'll find the evidence in our visual aids. For this and every other episode of Again With This, they're on our website at againwiththispodcast.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at AWT90210, and you can support our Patreon at patreon.com/againwiththis, where any level of support gets you extra episodes. I'm Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm too tired and too bored to try, but I'm still on Twitter at TomatoNation. My co-host is business talent collateral, Tara Ariano. She's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer is Tacopology, David T. Cole. Talk to you next time.